Thursday night wasn't a very pretty time around our house. I hit the proverbial wall. And no matter how hard I tried to get around it, I just couldn't. After writing two memorial services, a funeral, two Sunday services, two Wednesday services, a special presentation, a couple of Bible studies, and everything else, I just simply ran out of words. I didn't have another thing worth saying. I sat there wondering what to do. I mean, it was Thursday night. And with everything else that had been going on, I hadn't even begun to do the research, much less write my sermon, and normally it's finished by Thursday night, until I decide to revise it Sunday morning. But I was tired. I mean, have you ever been so tired that even your hair hurts? My mind was numb. My fingers felt like lead. I thought if anybody wanted a sermon today, they could just write it themselves because I wasn't going to, and then I had to grow up. There was nothing left to do but begin. And so while the computer was booting up, I got out my Bible and I reread the gospel lesson. And guess what? For the first time in my entire career, those words did not bring me peace and comfort. As a matter of fact, they irritated me so bad, I didn't know what to do. I mean, come on. Don't worry. It was obvious that Jesus wasn't living in my world. In my world, there's one worry after the other. There's not enough money for payroll, and the conference calls up and reminds me that we're behind on our apportionments. Someone takes the guttering off the side of the church. We have a daughter with unexplainable migraine headaches. A friend has been admitted to hospice. A parishioner is waiting the results of a test. Another one can't go home. Someone has just lost his job, and someone else is worried about the future of her job. And to top it all off, the world economy seems to be headed downhill again. Wars are raging, children are starving, youth are struggling, crimes are increasing, and Jesus says, "Don't worry." Well, the truth is, we live in a very anxious world. It seems like no matter which way we turn or whatever we try to do, there's always something or someone that is trying to tell us how bad the world really is. Do you remember, 15 years ago, when the worst thing commercials had to do to threaten us with was ring around the collar? Or water spots on our glasses? Now you watch them, and if we don't take the right colored pill, we're bound to die of something. I mean, let's face it, we live in a culturally induced state of worry. And the question, of course, is why? I mean, is the world really that terrible? Are the majority of people really that mean or cold-hearted, calculating? is our future really so uncertain that we have to work ourselves into exhaustion? And though then go beyond the point of sheer exhaustion, worrying about what to do, how to invest the money we've just made? But wait a minute, how did we get on the subject of money, right? Because money is never mentioned in this passage. Right? I invite you to take out your pew Bibles. They won't bite you. And I want you to turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Matthew is the first gospel of the New Testament, about 2/3 of the way behind in your Bible. Are you there? Will somebody be kind enough to read me verse 25?
I will.
Go ahead, Judy. Just verse 25. Mm-hmm. Do you have it? Okay. I tell you what, let's help her just a little bit. Ariana's finding it. Everybody there? Okay, Judy, lead us in reading it. Everybody, read it together. You read it with us, Judy.
When God is telling us, in every situation, you have, therefore,
I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body, more than clothing? Okay, now, here's what I want you to look at. What's the first word in that sentence? Therefore. Now, I know that you all are masters of the English language. Thank you, Judy. And some of you are even fair biblical scholars, right? So now, answer me. The word therefore, what does it mean? Is it just a good way to open a sentence, or does it mean that something has been said before that's going to let us know what's been going to be said? Now, that's a bad way of putting a sentence, but you get what I mean, right? Therefore what? Now, to get the answer to that question, you need to back up. Verse 19. Are you still with me? Read along with me. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Keep going. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you. Amazing, isn't it? So what is Jesus trying to tell us? Why is it so hard for us to relax? Why is it so difficult for us to let go of our worries and celebrate our blessings? Well, according to Jesus, it all comes down to who or what we trust the most. Will money, possessions, and status get us what we want? Or can we be content knowing that if we accomplish what we were created to do today, God will provide for us tomorrow? According to the Reverend Dr. David Luce, quote, "Once we believe that money can satisfy our deepest needs, then we discover that we never have enough. Money, after all, is finite. And so once we decide money grants security, then we are ushered immediately into a world of counting, tracking, and stockpiling. No wonder we worry. In a world of scarcity, there is simply never enough." And then he goes on to say that Jesus offers us an alternative. Jesus invites us to consider entering a relationship with God, who is infinite, a God whose love for us is infinite as well. For you see, God doesn't work on the world economy. God works on the principle of love. God works on the principle of abundance. The more love you have, the more love you can give away. And the more love you give away, the more love you receive. And if that love comes especially from God, how great can it be? Do I hear an amen here? But love from God cannot be counted, tracked, or stockpiled. We have to accept it, and then we have to give it away. We have to live it out. We have to trust that it's always going to be there. As people of faith, Jesus is inviting us to enter into that relationship. A relationship that is built on love and trust, not on money and getting and receiving. And all we have to do is trust. And even when we decide to accept the invitation, then he is telling us our lives will be transformed as we descend further and further into a world of abundance. The world of God. It's filled with possibilities. It's filled with contentment. So relax. Don't worry. Trust God instead. For you see, the one who brought life out of death can bring light into your world too. Therefore, do not worry, for God is here. To God be the glory.